briefly means I'm going to preach a while, but I'm going to be very timely. We are still in our theme for this quarter, the third quarter, which is the hands and the feet of Christ. We are anticipating the beginning of the fourth quarter with Brother David Lane from the Marsalis Avenue Church of Christ, who will be here the first Sunday in October. So we do look forward to that. But I want to share with you a lesson that I believe will help us to be inspired to be the hands and the feet for the Lord. I want to read from 1 Corinthians. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to read in your hearing verses 8 through 10. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I want to use for a subject authentic means and motivation for labor. Authentic means and motivation for labor. When you consider the context, Paul is speaking to the Corinthian brethren who have concerns about the resurrection of the human body. It is very difficult for them to believe that when a human being dies, that body that will deteriorate, go back to the dust, can somehow be recalibrated into a human being by resurrection. And so Paul helps them to understand that the very heart of the gospel is centered around resurrection. And he emphasizes how that Jesus Christ is the very epitome of Christian doctrine that deals with resurrection. For Jesus Christ died on a Friday. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day. He makes reference that all of this was done according to the Scripture. And inasmuch as Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior, has been resurrected from the dead, and there are many witnesses that he enumerates concerning having seen Jesus' resurrected body. And he mentions how that Peter and the apostles saw him, and how some 500 brethren, above some 500 brethren, saw him. And he says that many of them are still alive at the writing of this epistle. And then he says that he was seen of James, and then he was seen of the other apostles. And then he says, and last of all, he was seen of me. So he referenced the fact that you don't have to worry about the resurrection of the body. Those of us who are in Christ, we will be resurrected to eternal life. But everybody's going to be resurrected, some to eternal life and some to damnation. But Paul goes on to make a statement that I think is worthy of our consideration for this particular theme that we are speaking to this quarter. And he makes the reference. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And he says that this grace watch him. He said, and this grace was not in vain toward me. But then he comes back again and he says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. But then he says, not I, but he makes it known, but the grace of God that is with me. So three times he references grace, how important grace is. When I think in terms of the authenticity of our labor, I want us to understand that grace is the means. Grace is the motivation. When you and I have proper means and motivation for our work in the church, God is glorified, and you and I are benefited tremendously because of the reason behind what we are doing. Well, when I consider grace, what is grace? Titus 2 and verse number 11, for the grace of God which bringeth salvation to all men. The grace of God, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, you have to understand that God has so wonderfully extended his grace to all men. Every man that will ever be born, every man that is born, he has been given an opportunity to receive what Paul had, and that is the grace of Almighty God. Well, when you think in terms of grace for all men, you have to see that it has to be appropriated. It has to be something that you and I reach out and receive from God. God is not going to just give it to you without your participation. That's why when Paul speaks to the brethren at Ephesus, he says, ye are saved by the grace of God through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So grace is what God has done, but faith is our response to that grace. It is our reaching out and taking that grace and appropriating that grace in our lives. Well, Brother Gibbs, when you talk about grace, can you really help us to understand grace in its true meaning? Well, grace is the love of God. Grace is the kindness of God. Grace is the goodness of God. Grace is the mercy of God. Grace is the power of God. When you say the grace of God hath appeared to all men, you're saying the love of God has appeared to men. The kindness of God hath appeared to all men. The goodness of God has appeared to all men. The mercy of God has appeared to all men. The power of God hath appeared to all men. Well, when God manifests that love and God manifests that mercy and he manifests that wonderful kindness, you need to understand that it comes unmerited. It's unmerited. You don't merit that favor. You don't merit the blessing of grace, but it is something that God does for us, doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. If it were not for God's love, for God's mercy, and God's kindness, you and I would not be even present today. We wouldn't even be alive today. So the grace of God is that which God has manifested toward us. Well, Brother Gibbs, can you help me just a little bit more? May I tell you that the grace of God is in the person of Jesus Christ? For the Bible said he is the glory of God, full of grace and truth. So when you talk about the grace of God, you're talking about how that Jesus Christ, who embodies the grace of God, the love of God, the kindness of God, amen, and the mercy of God and the power of God has been given to each one of us. And you and I have to reach out and receive it by grace or by faith. By faith. And that is our part. Well, why did Paul say, I am what I am by the grace of Almighty God? And why does he say that my labor is based on the grace that God has given to me? Well, may I say to you that when Paul makes that statement, three things that I want you to see that he is speaking of. Just in verse number 10, three things. First of all, grace brings about gratitude. Watch this. When you know that you have been saved by grace, that grace invokes gratitude. Second thing that I'm going to emphasize from verse number 10 is that grace invokes humility. And the third thing is that grace empowers labor. Come on, say it with me. It's gratitude, what? Humility, and the power of labor. Grace is that which Paul claims, which gives him his proper motivation. Well, why do you say that he feels gratitude? Go with me, and I want you to put this on the screen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I want to look at verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I want to look at verse number 12, because when he talks to Timothy, he says, watch the word. He said, and I thank Christ Jesus, and that's grace now. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath what? Enabled me. Because what? He counted me what? Faithful, putting me into the ministry. Watch verse number 13. Although I was formerly a what? Blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man. But here it is. But I obtained what? Mercy. Because I did it what? Ignorantly in what? Unbelief. Verse 14. And the what? Grace of our Lord. The grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. Watch this. With faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So when a man understands that grace has been appropriated in his life and the Lord has brought him to where he is by the grace, the goodness, the kindness, amen, the mercy and the power of God, he knows that it must invoke gratitude. I must be thankful for where I am and who I am. Well, watch verse number 15. Watch verse number 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of what? All acceptance. That Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? Save whom? Sinners. Of whom? I am the chief of sinners. Well, he didn't say I was a chief of sinners. He said who? I am chief of sinners. Well, he has a certain attitude of graciousness. If you look, go back with me now to 1 Corinthians 15. And I want you to notice something. Notice how he makes reference to the fact that he was. And I want to begin at verse number 8. Look at verse number 8. And watch what he says. Then last of all, he was seen of me also as by one born out of due time. Verse number 9. For I am the what? I am the what? Least of the apostles, who am not what? Worthy to be what? Called an apostle. Here it is. Because I what? Persecuted the church of God. The reason that he is so appreciative and so thankful for grace is because he knows from whence he has come. He knows that if the Lord had not met him on the Damascus Road, if the Lord Jesus Christ had not interrupted him going to Damascus to bind all who were believers in the Lord, he knows that he would not be who he is that day. He would not be able to be in the ministry, and he surely could not have been called an apostle. So gratitude, When one understands that it's because of grace, he becomes what I call a grace man. A grace man is a man who is always thankful, and he's gracious to other folk because he understands that because of, I don't brag about myself, because if you really knew me, you wouldn't even want to be around me. But it's because of the grace of God, I am who I am. Therefore, I am thankful. Thankful people are people who are productive. When a man is not thankful, then that man is not productive. I wish I had time to really deal with another passage. And nobody said, go ahead. But anyway, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 15. I'm where I am by the grace of Almighty God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 15. And I want you to watch this verse. Now he says, for all things are for your sake. Now, what I like about this is that he has been discussing how the ministry has been challenging, how that he has suffered and the apostles have suffered many things because of their ministry. But then he says, for all these things are for your sake. That what? That grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. When you know grace has been the cause, grace is the reason, it will always produce a lot of thanksgiving. You ought to get up on Sunday morning thanking God for seeing another day. You ought to get up on Sunday morning thanking God that the blood is running warm in your vein. You ought to get, if I go on, brother, I won't get through. But I'm telling you, you ought to be thankful. That's because you know that you didn't deserve to see this day. Amen. Well, number two, grace invokes humility. I like the fact that not only is a grace man gracious, but he also is a man of humility. Grace brought about humility in the life of Paul. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15, and I want to look at verse number 8 again. And I want to show you now the humility of this man. Then last of all, now he's talking about the resurrection of Christ. But notice how he ranks himself. He says he was seen of Cephas. He was seen of the other apostles. And he makes reference to the fact that he was seen above 500 at one time. But notice he says, then last of all, he was seen by me. So when you talk about the witnesses of the resurrection, I'm the last one that was a witness to rank. He has ranked himself, what? Last of all of the what? Witnesses. Then he says, as one born out of due season. That simply means that he sees himself as having received life as an aborted fetus. When you think in terms of abortion is crushing out life. It's aborting life. And Paul says, if you want to know what you think, I think of me. He said, I feel like somehow I am nothing more than an aborted fetus. Humility. Verse number 9. For I am the least of the apostles. When it comes to the apostles, I am not to be ranked above them. He said, I'm the last of the apostles. I'm the last of the witnesses. I'm the least of the apostles. He said, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. Grace makes a man, invokes in him humility, because he understands that where he is and how he got where he is, that it was not because of his own ability. He said, no way in the world could I even stand before you as an apostle if the Lord had not brought me where I am.
In verse number 10, he says, but by the grace of God, by the kindness and the mercy of God, I am what I am. I am an apostle, but I'm here by the grace of God. I am a witness of the resurrection, but I'm here by the grace of Almighty God. When I hear all of the ways in which men and women respond to one another today in the media, it makes me wonder, what do they think about themselves? It makes me wonder, how do they think they got where they are? You know, I don't see a lot of humility. I don't see a lot of thanksgiving. What I hear is a lot of put downs. What I hear is a lot of self-promotion. What I see is a lot of selfish ambition. Even on your job and even in your own environment, you don't hear people ranking themselves last. You don't hear people saying that I don't even deserve this job. I don't even deserve this place. They treat you differently. They tell you that you got to go in assertive. You got to go in believing that if it weren't for me, this company wouldn't even be where it is today. But that's not the attitude that Paul says. He said, I'm not even worthy. And I know it goes contrary to the way and the thoughts of men and the ways and the actions of men today. But you got to understand that this is the proper, this is the genuine, this is the authentic means and motivation for labor. Is that I'm here because of the grace of Almighty God. I want to show you another passage of scripture. If you don't mind, I want you to look with me at Ephesians chapter 3. And I want verse number 7. Hurry right quick. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 7. He said, of which I became a minister. I wish I had time to deal with the text, the whole context, but let me just make this point. Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective, watch this now, by the effective working of his power. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Grace always brings power. Grace is that which God has given. I know you feel like I could go out and get it myself, but I'm telling you, if you understand that, if really you understood that it's the gift of God's grace that you're where you are, and it's through the effective working of his power that you're where you are. Watch verse number 8. Watch this. To whom? To me. Who am less than the, watch him, less than the least of all the saints. When he looks at the apostles, I'm less than all the apostles. When he looks at all the saints, I am the least of all the saints. Here it is. This grace was given. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I was given it that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. That's why you and I need to understand that grace forces us to rank ourselves beneath the other person. If we had more people who approach life through grace, they would have more thanksgiving. It's hard to be angry and to be critical and have gratitude at the same time. It's hard if you believe that you're being mistreated and you deserve something and you haven't gotten it, to be thankful. You can't work like that. You can't give your best like that. You're always feeling as though that somebody else got this promotion and I should have gotten that promotion. Well, if you stop and just learn to rank yourself beneath other folk and be self-abasing and understand that this is the cornerstone of God's kingdom and God's saints. He wants everybody to understand that I don't need you promoting yourself. Let me promote you. Let me graduate you. Let me put you in your position. Be thankful, knowing that it's the grace of Almighty God. That's why the Bible said, let nothing be done through strife of vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So, as I close this point, I want you to understand that God's, and man, when God gives grace, it's that which causes thanksgiving. When God gives grace, it causes one to have humility, lowliness, meekness, mildness, and modesty, self-abasement in their lives as they deal with one another. Don't rank yourself above others. When you think in terms of grace, as I close, grace inspires and empowers labor. Watch Paul, he said, but I labored. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 10. And I'm closing. I am really closing now. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's thanksgiving. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I. Watch it now. But the grace of God, which was with me. Grace empowers labor. Notice now, the word labor simply means that he works to the point of weariness. When he works, he's exhausted. He's exhausted. But what caused him to be exhausted? What caused him to be weary? It's because of his labor. Well, what caused him to labor so hard? It was because of the grace of Almighty God. You see, the more he thought about how that God blessed him, God saved him, God put him in the ministry, he understood that it was grace that was responsible, that caused him to want to work for God. See, not because I earned it, not because I deserve it, but because I'm thankful, because I wouldn't be here if it had not been for God, which means that labor, real labor for God, has more to do about intake than output. The more intake of grace that you have, then the more output you have in labor and in working for the Lord. Oh, I know I'm right. Because you see, if you know that you are empowered by God, then that's how you understand that though I'm tired, God is able to give me the strength. God is able to withhold me and to sustain me in the midst of the trials that I'm going through. That's because I don't get tired, I don't get weary, long as I know that the grace of God is what is empowering and in giving me the ability to do what I'm doing. Go with me right quick. Time is against me. It's not with me. But Philippians 1 and verse number 6. Watch this now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work. Now that's talking about God. He that has begun a good work in you will what? Complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, if God started it, God will complete it. God will give you the strength to make it through. God will keep you where you need to be. But you got to make sure it's God who started the work. And you got to make sure that it's God who you're working for. And it's God's grace that God is providing you. Go with me. I hear you. I hear you, Darcy. You're pushing me. But you're pushing me too hard now. Now watch this now. In Philippians 4. And I want verse number 13. I got to close. And I appreciate you, Darcy. Don't think I don't, because the rest of them ain't trying to push me, but you are. Amen, Walson. Like. Now watch me. Said, I can do what? Come on. I can do how many things? I can do all things. But I'm doing it through my own power. But he said, no. I'm doing it through whom? Through Christ. Who does what? Who strengthens me? Well, he knows that if it was God who started it, and it's God who will keep it and inspire it to the day of completion. He knows that it is God who strengthens him. And he strengthens him through Jesus Christ, the grace of Almighty God. But then drop down to verse number 19. I'm closing. And my God, he said, and my God shall supply what? Some of your need. He shall supply what? All your need. But it's according to what? His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I thought about that thing. And I said, you know, if my labor is based on the grace of Almighty God. I said to myself, I said, you know, then I'm thankful. If I know that where I am is because of the grace of God, it causes me to humble myself and to be thankful to God Almighty. And then when I know that it's through grace and the empowerment of God, then it causes me to work harder, because it's not because I think it's so much of myself, but I think so much of God who did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I got to thinking about that thing. And I said, Brother Gibbs, can you help me? And can you help yourself to go back and see the kind of God that is a God of grace? And I had to go all the way back. I went all the way back to the beginning. And I thought about the God who created the world. And the Bible said that he created the world out of nothing, which simply means that there was nothing to inspire God. There was nothing to merit God to do what God did. It was all coming from God. God, in his own being, in his own nature, is the one who created the world. And it's because of his love. It was because of his goodness. It was because of his kindness. And when he made it, he made the world. And this is what really got me, that he made it for man. He didn't make it for himself. He made the world for man. Out of all of the universe that God created, he decided that I'm going to take one little planet and I'm going to make it conducive for my man that I'm going to put on this earth. So I'm going to postpone. I don't want to make man first. I want to help man to see how loving and how gracious and how kind I am. And so he'll be the very last thing that I create. So let me help him. Let me give him some light. And when he gave man light, he made that light by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. And then after he made the light, then he turned around and made the heavens. And when he made the heavens and the firmament, he divided it. He divided the firmament with the sea and with the sky. He put water above and he put water beneath. And then finally he decided, I need to give him some earth. So God, in his grace and in his mercy and in his kindness and his goodness, God decided, they said, let the waters congeal. And he brought man mountains. He brought man valleys. He brought man all of the rivers. Brought man the ocean. Brought man the lakes. Brought man the streams. Man, look what God is doing for you. You can't do it for yourself, but I'm going to do it for you. Well, God, can you help me? Well, Shelton, I know that just to make the light, I need to help man to have some light in the day. And I need to help him to have some light at night. So God's grace gave him light, gave him a sun. God's grace gave him a moon. God's grace gave him stars. It was the goodness of Almighty God. Then God said, I don't want to just give him a firmament and a heaven. Let me put some birds in the firmament. Let me put some fish in the sea. God said, I'm going to help man to see how good and how gracious and mighty I am. So God, in his wonderful grace and in his great mercy and his loving kindness, God put the birds in the sky and put the fish in the sea. Then God clothed the grass. He put grass, gave man flowers, gave man vegetables. Then he turned around and put something in the ground. He put gold in the ground, put silver in the ground, put copper in the ground, put ore in the ground. God, what you doing? I'm trying to show man how good and how gracious I am to mankind. God said, well, let me put some beasts of the field. I put all of the animals in the field and put them on the earth. Then finally God said, let me show him how good I am. God said, now let me make man. And when I make him, I'm going to show him how good I am. God took him and formed the dust of the ground. God said, grace. My grace is going to give him a brain. My grace is going to give him two eyes. My grace is going to give him two ears. My grace is going to give him two arms. My grace is going to give him two hands. My grace is going to give him two legs. And my grace is going to give him two feet. My grace is going to help that man to understand that I'm going to put a heart inside of him. I'm going to help man to see that he's wonderfully made, but it's not because he deserved it. It's because I'm so good. God, help me to understand how good and how gracious you are. Well, when man sin, God said, I already got a plan for you. Am I right? Oh, Lord, I'm just preaching like this, and y'all just looking at me like I'm crazy. All right, so let me stop. Hey, let me stop. Amen. But I that's why, you know. And now here's my point. I looked down there, boy, and y'all was looking. That's why I had to just preach to the heavens. Amen. Amen. Y'all not gracious at all. But anyway. Now let me show you this. Here's my point. When men understand that grace didn't just start, the grace of God did not just start with the giving of Christ. The grace of God started when he made man and made the world. So you don't ever have a reason to ever think that you are so much, because the very breath that you breathe is by the grace of Almighty God. So come on down, brother, and be thankful when you get up in the morning. Somebody ought to say amen, amen. You're where you are because of the grace of Almighty God. You're living in a house that you don't deserve. You're driving a car that you don't deserve. You got money that you don't deserve. God gave it to you. And you ought to, amen, amen. I done got drunk now. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. I'm trying to save money. Oh, come on now. You know I'm right. We the only one preaching, Dawson. But that's all right. It bothers me to see folks sitting up as though they deserve something. And like you ought to do this for me. Let me tell you something. My wife doesn't have to. I don't have to earn anything. She doesn't have to earn anything from me. Man, listen, when God gave that woman, that was grace. You don't even deserve a wife. When he give you children, it's the grace of God. And that's why you and I ought to work. Now y'all looking right, all right. Amen, so I'm going to quit. I done got all messed up in the mouth, haven't I? You said yes. All right. Did I get it?
Yeah, you got it.
I got it now. All right. Grace of God is so important. You'll work your tongue out when you really know. It's by grace. And you'll really have good attitude about everything. So I'm praying that you will let proper means and motivation for your labor be the grace of Almighty God. Say like Paul, I am what I am by the what? Grace of God. Whatever you are, know that it's by the what? Grace of God that you're where you are. If you don't know Jesus, you have not appropriated grace in your life, you do it by faith in Christ Jesus. You come to Jesus Christ by hearing his gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing him to be the Son of God. When you're buried with him in the water, grave of baptism, am I still looking all right? All right. Amen. I know y'all say, Brother Gibbs, you crazy. I am crazy. But I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. Amen. I'm trying to tell you. Because, you know, I'm trying to tell you how to get in Christ, and then you're looking at my mouth, and my mouth all messed up. You can't go hear what I'm saying. So let me clean it up. Amen. And tell you need Jesus. He is full of grace and truth.
Yes.
And you come to him by those steps that I just mentioned. Baptism will put you into Christ. Mm-hmm. It'll put you into this wonderful fellowship where you will have the grace of God appropriated in your life. You live by that grace. You work by that grace. And one day you'll go home with him by that grace. Mm-hmm. This is God's message. You're here, subject to the Savior's invitation. I pray that you'll come. Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?